This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. Kalamazoo College senior Cami Simmons on Saturday presents a reader's theater play inspired by the life of African-American radio pioneer Hal Jackson. She met Mr. Jackson when she was in high school, but didn't know his important role in history. In fact, so important that when he died in 2012 at age 96, it was a news story in the New York Times. Jackson was the first African-American to be inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 1990. He's also been inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame. He not only was a radio personality, but radio station owner. Be advised that this interview contains strong language involving race. Every student at Kalamazoo College has to do a senior individualized project. In a nutshell, what is that?
So basically, a senior individualized project is something that you do as a capstone for your senior year. So basically, you choose a project, whether it's a research paper, or for me, in my case, it was a playwriting project that I did through the theater arts department, and you do it for your whole semester. And so it's your last big, like, capstone before you graduate.
And we'll talk more in detail about who Hal Jackson is later, but walk us through how you decided to focus on his achievements and his life as your particular senior individualized project.
Sure. So I'm a theater arts major in a media studies concentration, and I had a large interest in theater. And so when coming to Kalamazoo College, I was very involved in theater, very involved in a lot of classes around theater. And so sophomore year, in the summer, I did an internship with iHeartRadio because I didn't get the fellowship that I had applied to for theater. And so I thought to try out radio. And so I did this internship. And basically, after that, I started doing a little bit more research on Hal Jackson because I did a program with his daughter, Jane Harley, inside of D.C. And I wanted to learn more about him because I had did this program when I was younger, didn't really know who he was because I was young at the time. And so I did more research along the way. And I had brought up to my supervisor, which are senior individualized project, you get an advisor. And I had already knew who I wanted mine to be senior year. Ed Mintuk, who was the department chair of theater at the time, and he still worked at Kalamazoo College. But I had brought up to him that I wanted to find a way to bring together my interests of theater and now broadcasting and television together. And so I thought that this would be a great opportunity. I had started the basis of my research my junior year. And then when senior hit, I told him it would be a good idea if I can do a play on Hal Jackson because I recently took a playwriting class with Ed.
I should say at this point, you mentioned being in a program with his daughter, Hal Jackson's daughter, Jane Harley. It was an extracurricular weekend acting program.
Yeah.
You were in high school at the time. You did meet briefly Hal Jackson at that time, and that was pretty much the one and only time you did meet him.
Right.
Is that correct?
It was only like brief interactions with him. And like I said, I was there for a program. I knew that he was involved in entertainment, but I didn't know how much of a significance it was.
Okay, so now you're making your senior individualized project into a reader's theater play.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired by the life, I should say, of Hal Jackson. You took a little creative license with it, but it really is essentially based on his life. It's
mm-hmm.
called The Time Is Now. Tell us, what can people expect to see when they come on March 11th?
I have 21 characters. And basically, the main character is Willie Earle, who is inspired by Hal Jackson, as well as some other people that I interviewed this past summer, because I did interview some of his previous interns, as well as one of his talented teens, who was a part of the Hal Jackson talented teens, and his daughter, Jane Harley.
Hal Jackson did so many things, and we'll talk more about that, but one of them was actually a beauty pageant for African-American teenagers. Continue.
The main character is Willie Earle, and also the main character is Deanna, who is inspired by his wife. But basically, the play just goes throughout his life. It starts out when he's a child and the relationship between him and his mom. And so it shows how, basically, Hal has this whole perspective of life that, you know, it's important to, it's nice to be important, but it's also important to be nice. And that was one of the quotes and one of the models that Hal Jackson lived by. it starts off with him and his mom and how he got to where he is at the end, which he becomes this big personality in radio and broadcasting, but he's also very humble about it. And he also helps people throughout the Black community. So his main goal isn't to be famous, but to also talk about these social issues through the medium of radio. It's definitely a work in progress. This is the beginning of me doing the play. I'm going to be changing it. Who knows? We'll see what happens. So.
Hal Jackson died in 2012 at the age of 96, so he had a long life. But before he actually left us, he actually wrote an autobiography about himself, The House That Jack Built, My mm-hmm. Life Story as a Trailblazer in Broadcasting and Entertainment. I believe you indicated offline that it was released in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show the significance of Hal Jackson, he actually had an obituary, a very long one, written, I should say really a news story, honestly, in the New York Times when he passed. In terms of your play and your research, can you indicate just some of your source material?
The majority of the facts that I looked at, I did read a couple articles that people wrote about Hal Jackson when he passed away, because the majority of the articles were written when he passed away. I also listened to a variety of interviews. The majority of them were on various radio stations when he was alive. And then his autobiography, which you mentioned, The House That Jack Built. So, and then also interviews.
You've interviewed Jane Harley.
It was just through, like, interactions.
Your interactions with her when you were younger.
Exactly, when I was younger. And also when I mentioned to her about the project, I wanted to know a little bit more about Hal Jackson, her relationship with her father. And then I also interviewed a couple people who still work at WBLS, which is the station that's
in
now
New York City.
New York.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, the talented teen, Kim Swain, who's going to be one of the people who's coming up.
Are you indicating that you've interviewed folks that are still there now?
Mm. Two of them are still full-time at WBLS. One was an intern. She's a freelancer who goes from different stations, and then the talented teen, and she's also a freelancer, but she's still involved with radio, but more so television and music as well.
In terms of the recognitions that were bestowed upon Hal Jackson, he was the first African-American inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 1990. And he was also among the first five African-Americans inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in 1995. Tell us some more firsts in regards to, or just important things that Hal Jackson did.
Sure. So he was also one of the owners of the Washington Bears, which was the baseball team in Washington, D.C., he was also inducted into other broadcast-related organizations. But I would say he was also one of the first, in general, on radio who had a show which was originally entitled The Bronze Review, where he had a conversation with not only activists, but also musicians, politicians, and other people to talk about these issues within the Black community.
He grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. Then he went on to Washington, D.C. You indicate in some materials you gave me, he was in and around age 15 or so when he came to Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. I don't know if that's about right, but he kind of launched his radio career at that time. You mentioned earlier about a show, kind of an entertainment type show called The Bronze Review. And the story behind that, I think that you kind of uncovered and shared with me offline in terms of how that show came about, that he pitched an idea for that particular show mm-hmm. to the director of the radio station at the time. And this is a direct quote, apparently, right out of his autobiography in terms of what that response was. What was that?
So basically, the response was, no nigger would ever be on my radio station.
But he decided to circumvent the process by actually buying airtime on the radio station through a white wholesale buyer of airtime, I think is how you mm-hmm. indicated it. And somehow he managed to get on the show, to get on the air without revealing that he was involved in it. And all of a sudden that show was on the air. He went on from there, finding lots of ways to kind of make things happen
right.
For people of color. And ultimately, along the way, he made his way to New York City. And not only just to be, my understanding is, the first disc jockey on a radio station that was reaching a largely white audience. That was kind of the first time really that really started to happen. And he was a force on New York City radio for like more than 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the significant things in terms of what he did in New York. He became a radio executive.
So he owned a plethora of radio stations, not only in D.C., but also in New York. There were some stations all over the country. He was also one of the owners of the Apollo Theater in New York for quite some time. And so he was just he was well known within the media broadcasting industry, but also the entertainment industry.
One of the things I found interesting in the material that you shared with me ahead of time is that in many of these radio stations where there were issues in him getting on the air or whatever it was, that he just ended up buying them.
Right. And he was very strategic when he bought him. I mean, when he first bought his first radio station, he did it through a white wholesaler, which I thought was pretty strategic. You know, he just didn't stop at someone just telling him no, but he found other ways to make it happen for himself.
And he also helped raise funds for different kinds of organizations, such as?
There was a lot of organizations. One in particular was for a hospital. I think it was an organization with kids where basically he had people donate books or donate different toys for.
Yeah, I think he started something called the Good Deed Club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he started something called the Good Deed Club. He also, based on the materials you gave me, he raised funds for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and things like that. A lot of Black organizations were beneficiaries of some of his fundraising efforts.
Right.
Yeah. What else should we know about Hal Jackson?
I was surprised to learn how many people, even now, who are in the entertainment industry were affected by him, such as Wendy Williams, which I was very surprised. She started at WBLS when Hal Jackson was still working there. And so that was a person.
And then she segued to having a national talk show.
I was very surprised, just the people who were very impacted by him. So Vanessa Williams was one of his talented teens, or Jada Pinkett Smith was one of his talented teens. I was just very surprised by how many people, to see where they were, where they started, like through programs like this, to where they are now. So that was one of the main things that I was very surprised about. And also just like how many things Hal Jackson did. He wasn't just involved in radio, but he was very involved in the community. He was very involved in philanthropy, and he just didn't limit himself.
I think some of your peers, you said, weren't aware of him.
Right.
As you say, I think the word you use is lost narratives,
mm-hmm.
that you feel passionate about bringing lost narratives forward.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people do not know about him. Even people who are my mom's age, anytime I brought up Hal Jackson, they would say, "Hal who?" And I was very, you know, surprised to hear how many people didn't know about him, especially with the influence that he's had through this play and through my research. I just hope that not only people you know, learn how to make it happen, as I would put it, because Hal Jackson did make it happen for himself. But I wanted this to be my gift to Kalamazoo College, in a way, to educate students on my campus who don't know about him, to educate people off of Kalamazoo College's campus about him, but to also be inspired through his stories.
And I guess as we sign off here, I should say that you did mention to one of his daughters, Jane Harley, the one with whom you have a relationship, that you were going to make this your project. Well, it's not like she's officially endorsing it, but you did certainly inform her that you were working on this as a project. Thank you, Cammie, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Cami Simmons presents her Readers Theater project about the life of African-American radio pioneer Hal Jackson at 3 p.m. Saturday, March 11th at the Light Fine Arts Building at Kalamazoo College. It'll be followed by a talkback and reception. For more information, visit our webpage at wmuk.org. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.